The 82nd, said Lieutenant Colonel David Poirier, had the itchy trigger finger. Poirier was about to lead an MP battalion into Fallujah a few days later, in early May, when he was taken aside by Colonel David Teeples, the commander of the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment, to whom he temporarily reported. Let me just pass on to you what happened when we did a RIP, relief in place, with 2nd Brigade, 82nd Airborne, Teeples began, Poirier later recalled. Teeples had been in Fallujah because the 3rd ACR was temporarily taking control of the city from Colonel Bray's brigade. He said he was standing alongside Bray on the roof of a building in downtown Fallujah on April 30, watching a convoy of Bray's troops begin moving west to east on Highway 10, the main road, when the convoy encountered about 100 demonstrators in front of a government building. The lead vehicle fires a warning shot to get them out of the way, Teeples later recounted to Poirier. A gunner in one of the rear vehicles puts his head down and opens up with a 50 cal, just opens up and lays down 7 people. Teeples was very clear, Poirier said in an interview, that it was unaimed fire, and some innocent people died. Teeples declined to be interviewed for this audiobook, but Lieutenant Colonel Tobin Green, a 3rd ACR officer who was standing next to him atop the Ba'ath Party headquarters building, said the convoy was attacked by the demonstrators. Eyewitness soldiers from the 82nd come under attack from Iraqis, throwing rocks and bricks at exposed men with complete force at distances of no less than 3 feet. The column came under fire from enemy riflemen on the edge of the crowd, he said by email. Another 3rd ACR officer, who was an eyewitness that day, came down between Swanwick's and Poirier's accounts. The demonstration was approximately 200 persons. Some shots were fired from AK-47 assault rifles from the rear of the demonstration. Generally, these shots were not aimed. Sometimes they were. The Humvee gunner from their D Company, anti-tank company, did fire a burst of 50 cal. The Iraqi who was killed I remember the most was an elderly man who took a 50 cal round to the head at short range. Given that I was not in that soldier's position, I cannot say he made a bad call. The Fallujah hospital director told Human Rights Watch that 3 people were killed that day and 16 wounded. Bray argued credibly that his unit behaved well and honorably in both incidents. The key to the events in Fallujah, Bray said, isn't the behavior of his soldiers, but the malignant character of some people in the town. By April 25, the sole policeman there who had been helping U.S. troops operate a checkpoint was shot in front of his house, and the word traitor was written on his forehead. There was something evil in that town, Bray recalled. In his view, Human Rights Watch overestimated the casualties in the first incident because it collected statistics that reflected violence all the way from Ramadi to Baghdad for a 3-day period. As for the criticism by fellow American soldiers, he said it came from units fresh to Iraq and unfamiliar with the situation. Dave Teeples doesn't quite understand what's happening that day in Fallujah. This is the first fight for him and his guys. I tell him, the war's not over. Earlier that day, he had seen a 3rd ACR soldier standing on a balcony in Fallujah without any body armor on. I told him, son, you don't know where you are. The incidents of April 28 and 30 became a cause celebre for the people of Fallujah, who would raise them repeatedly in negotiations with U.S. forces over the next year. Francis Bing West, the embedded defense analyst and author who has spent more time studying U.S. military operations in Anbar province than any other unofficial observer, concluded that the Sunnis, and especially the people of Fallujah and the rest of Anbar province, had never been defeated in the spring invasion. In that sense, the April incidents may have been not so much a cause of later troubles as a reflection of an existing problem. The Sunnis still wanted to slug it out. At any rate, Fallujah would continue to be the victim of U.S. military absent-mindedness, with its problems underestimated and a variety of different army units deployed to it in stopgap moves. Over the course of a few months, the city was patrolled by parts of the 82nd Airborne, then by Poirier's MP-led task force, then by the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment, then by parts of the 3rd Infantry Division, and then by the 82nd Airborne when it returned later in 2003. Finally, it would be turned over to the Marines, with a battle following soon after. Fallujah had five different units handling it between April 03 and April 04, said one Army intelligence officer who served in Anbar province. This is exactly the wrong way to prosecute a counterinsurgency fight.